Shalom and good morning. We still continue to look at the behavior of the new community for the leadership, for the new leaders, so that Timothy can understand how to behave, what he is supposed to do. In 2 Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 8, we looked at the willing submission. And he said, this is what you do for the sake, to the others, for the sake of Christ, or in reverence to Christ Jesus Christ. And Paul showed the importance of this willing submission for men who were supposed to have lifted up their hands. He then talked about, said that the best example was Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people, even people who hated him. And then Paul became a second example of willing submission by accepting to include the Gentiles to be equal sharers of the grace of God, or to the common wealth of God's people. Remember, the Jews continue to reject the Gentiles. Remember the book of Acts 10, even after a man called, or the first Gentiles, Cornelius, came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Jews objected. They did not accept him as one who could really be considered to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ by himself, because they considered that this was not the right way, that the Gentiles were not acceptable according to the Jews. So for Paul to accept them and to become a herald and to become a messenger for them, that was submission, and was willing submission to the call. Then he said that lifting of hands, as we said, for men without anger and without resistance is another one. And then he said, we pray for all people everywhere, and we pray for kings, and we pray for the persecutors. Kings were the persecutors then. So he said, if you pray for them, that was that was a submission by itself. And then we come to look at the other example, which had been having a lot of controversy. Verses 9 of chapter 2. I want you to see the word also. I also. Now, when you talk about the also, want the women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, adoring themselves not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one who was deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. This is not an easy section to interpret. It's one of the hardest in the Bible. It has provoked a lot of controversy. But the problem is, anybody who would want to interpret such a portion should not start from where we have started. If you do not start from 2 Timothy, from verses chapter 2, verses 1, to look at the context that we are talking about, willing submission, and we've given all those examples of everybody, of men lifting the hands, of Jesus, of Paul, If we do not start from there and just come to start from 9, it will bring controversy. But you see, from verses 9, Paul is addressing and says, I also want the women. So that means he is continuing. When he says, I also, he is also saying, this is another example. Actually, this is the fourth or fifth example of winning submission. He also talked about men. But one of the women, which is little elaborate here, about winning submission, is about their dress. See, we said submission is what you do or what you do not do for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel. And we said it has benefit for you, for others, and for the kingdom. It's also good to realize that we are talking about public worship. It's not about dressing. Christ is not talking about the dressing itself, but we are talking about the public worship by itself. And so one of the things during the worship is for women is about dressing. So Paul says one of the indicators of winning submission is dressing modestly and with decency and propriety. Now that is very important. How do you dress? How do they dress not to show? How do they dress not to attract others, not to tempt men by their see-through dresses and daring cuts and all manner of dresses that is not decency? So Paul says, dress well when you come for worship. It is a submission by itself. Not with elaborate hairstyle or gold and pearl or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. So he did not say that women should not dress with all those things, but he instead said that they should instead dress with good deeds. You see, it means, therefore, maybe they were only interested in the outside look. But Paul says, look at the inside look. Look at the good deeds when you come to worship. That is the appropriate for women who profess to worship God. Then he continues to say, a woman should learn in quietness. The second method, not only for dressing, but women should show willing submission, is about learning. To learn. Paul says, should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. Now, here, I want also to see you, for you to follow what was going on by then for women in Ephesus, in this church. But one of the things that we are coming about here is about the learning, is about authority. Authority is permission. Bible says that God is the head of Christ, and Jesus is the head of man, and the man is the head of a woman. And so with that order, there's an order that God has given. Why has God given order? For the sake of running an institution or running the community of God. If there's no order, chaos would come and disrupt the worship of God, especially to people who are forming and becoming an example. Already we have talked about how men and women should submit in Ephesians. Women were supposed to submit by respect, men by love. So here Paul is still elaborating on now the teaching. It was expected for men to teach their wives. It's not about, it's about the women's position to learn. That is in quietness. It shows maybe there was some disruption that would come at this particular time. And then he gives why. For Adam was formed first, and Eve, and then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became the sinner. Now, what Paul has not said here is that a woman was deceived and became a sinner. But man was not deceived. He disobeyed. So if Paul would have looked at it critically, he would say it, that men, he was disobedient. He knew what to do. He knew the law. God had spoken to Adam and given him the law and given him the instructions on what to do. We are not told that God had spoken to Eve at the garden. Adam was supposed to have transferred this as an authority, as a head to his family, to the wife. But you see, the wife was deceived. And here is also a rebuke to Adam, because if Eve was deceived and became a sinner, then Adam disobeyed and became a sinner. And then he says, but women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. Now here, not talking about that the way of a child, of a woman to be saved is through childbearing, but it's talking about that the salvation of the world coming through the children that comes through a woman. It's the giving of birth that will continue to bring salvation on earth by bringing those children in faith and in love and in holiness and with propriety. And so this is also now about form of a discipleship that will continue to bring the salvation, to continue salvation through the child bearing. You see, through the child bearing, salvation will continue, will be perpetuated through child bearing. But this is through when it's done in faith. You, childbearing is about bringing up children, but also continuing to mentor them. Mentor them in faith, in love, and holiness. God give us the grace to show willing submission in Jesus' name.